For the Big M, Monitor 70, with the sound of what's happening in the weekend world. Now, just ahead, for you sports buffs, we'll have the latest developments on Curt Flood's legal challenge to baseball's reserve clause. Before that happens, let's check in with Ralph Carmichael and Hoyer. We are going to hear all about his bright new world. Where is it? Monitor Sports. Curt Flood, while belonging to the Philadelphia Phillies, stayed out of baseball for 1 year and challenged the reserve clause in the courts. This week, after being traded to the Washington Senators, he finally returned to baseball. A report from Bob Short, the Washington owner, and sports editor Len Dillon on Monitor's open line.
Bob Short, the contract Curt Flood signed, had a standard reserve clause in it. Did he show any reluctance before signing?
Well, I think this, that he would have preferred to sign a contract without a reserve clause in it, but he knew that if he was going to play in Washington for the Senators, there was no way that I could offer him a contract without the clause in it. So he did sign it, and he signed it knowing and understanding that signing and playing would neither help or hurt his cause before the federal courts of the United States.
What gave you the idea that you could swing this deal?
Well, I don't say that the Philadelphia Phillies didn't try to sign him, because I know that they did, but I think timing is important, and I just had to believe that there was a year that had elapsed, and a whole season of baseball that had elapsed since contact has been made, and when you get your back up against the wall, as I have mine in Washington, you try almost anything, and I knew that this was a ball player who could hit that was not playing, and I have actually become tired watching players who are playing who can't hit, so I decided I'd take a chance and try to sign him.
I take it Williams was quite pleased with the signing of Flood.
Oh, he's delighted to have a player of Curt's caliber in Washington uniform. I don't know that we've ever had in expansion a player who can hit over 300, who has almost a 300 lifetime average.
Mm-hmm.
So Flood is a welcome addition from Williams' point of view and certainly from a fan point of view in Washington.
When do you expect Flood back from Denmark?
As soon as he can get his bag packed, he's going to return and go to our Winter Instructional League, where he will run and throw and hit. He's not going to play on that team, but he feels that before we finish in the Winter Instructional League that he'll be prepared for spring training, which follows a couple of months from now. And I just look forward to some spectacular plays in center field in Washington next year.
And a higher finish for the Washington Senators.
Well, we can't finish any worse than we finished. I suppose we could have fewer games in the win column, but we did finish last in the East, and we don't intend to stay there. And we're trying to be number one in the East, and we do intend to get there.
Bob, first in war, first in peace, and first in the American League, right?
That's the only way to do it.
Bob Short, owner of the Washington Senators, thank you ever so much for being our guest on Monitor's Open Line.
Thank you, Len, for having me as your guest.
Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
You know, it's fascinating to hear those baseball players refer to the reserve clause as slavery when some of those slaves are making over $100,000 a year. Okay, here comes Elvis Presley. The money, the money.
You said you would always stay. It wasn't me who changed but you. And now you go away. Well, don't you know that now you're gone? And I'm left.
Recorded by Dusty Springfield, that song, 1966, was also a big hit. And Elvis now 14 years away from his first big hit, Heartbreak Hotel, in 1956, and still going strong in record sales.
Just stay where you are, I'll bring you more.
Time now, 18 minutes after the hour. Friends, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
There are certain things you should know about your neighbor. Your neighbor is 18 inches of grease and other assorted filth. Your neighbor has enough germs on his hide to destroy an army and may have been responsible for killing more people than have been killed in all the wars in history. Your neighbor raises a new family every 30 days and can produce hundreds of offspring in a single year. Your neighbor devours 17 pounds of garbage a year. Rotting grapefruit rinds, old coffee grounds, anything he can get his razor-sharp teeth into. To get at this garbage, he'll climb walls, scale rooftops, swim half a mile underwater. The trick is not to let him get at it. That's why the best way to get rid of your neighbor is to keep your garbage in a garbage can with the lid on tight. Starve a rat today.
Happy Day Radio 66, WNBC, New York. Murray Dekay here, moving on through the weekend with Monitor 70, with news, sports, interviews, and of course, the best in contemporary music. And here's some of it, one of the big ones that Peter, Paul, and Mary did some time ago. Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Tell It on the Mountain, Peter, Paul, and Mary. That's Peter Yarrow, Paul Stuckey, and Mary Travers, who have decided to sort of temporarily end their careers right now as a trio. Next, the almost unbelievable story of a new Justice of the Peace elected last week in Lawrence, Kansas. His name is Philip C. Hill. He's a college dropout with no permanent address, and he's a hippie, and listen to this, a self-admitted dope pusher. The new Justice of the Peace was interviewed for Monitor by NBC newsman Bill Fitzgerald.
Phil, were you surprised when you were elected, and how did you get elected?
No, I really wasn't too surprised. The White Panther Party and the Call Valley Hempickers got together this summer, and they decided to run George Kimball for the sheriff here, and I was to run for the Justice of the Peace, because we had two dudes shot up here, and we thought those were probably the most significant offices we could do. And George Kimball was to run, you know, a pretty loud campaign. He got a lot of local publicity as well, so I think some national publicity. And he was kind of to call the attention off me, and no one really noticed or knew what I looked like or anything, so I was able to get through the primaries and through the general election without having to say anything.
But you don't believe your election was a fluke, it's just that people didn't realize who you were and for whom they were voting, right?
That's right. They were just voting the ticket, and they weren't, you know, paying any attention to the issues. We were doing our, you know, private talking here and talking to people, and we were paying out a few bribes. Most of it was in our local Kansas dope, so it didn't cost us much.
You were paying bribes to whom?
People to either talk or to not talk. You know, there are some people that if they would have gone to the press or Democratic Party, you know, could have ruined it, and so we had to favor them a little bit with our Kansas grass.
Then your campaigning, what there was of it, was rather quiet. Did you do any barnstorming yourself?
No. Matter of fact, I hid out in New Mexico during the primaries.
So why did you hide out?
Just so nobody would begin to put my face together along with the name that was on the ballot.
You felt if they did realize who you were, you'd never get elected, right?
Yeah, that's what they did to George. The Democratic Party spent a lot of airtime and was putting out papers and wouldn't let him speak at any of their meetings, and they were telling all the Democrats not to vote for him. So while they were slinging all this mud at him, I was just hiding out in the outhouse.
Now, Phil, some officials say they're going to try to force you out of office. Will you fight that action?
Oh, yes. We've got a number of support from the media and some of the young attorneys here and some of the young law students who are already making, you know, moves to really blow it up if, let's say, Vern Miller decides to come in here and stop me for no reason at all, you know. So we're going to fight it all the way because we've got a pretty powerful office. We can sue landlords, and we can sue these factories around here that are polluting up the land. We've got you can go ahead, and if a police harasses you, you can get them for defamation of character, and we're going to go all the way with it.
Do you plan any new innovations in your office as Justice of the Peace?
Yeah, this is where it's really a surprise, because the only power that it seems like a Justice of the Peace has here is able to settle civil lawsuits for under a dollar. And matter of fact, my Republican opponent was saying that he was out to destroy that office because he said it was useless. And I, you know, there's too many kids right now running around destroying the office. So I'm here and ran on a strict law and order campaign that I'm going to enforce these laws against the landlords and what have you to the best of my ability.
There's some story that you're going to perform some unusual marriages. What about that?
Yeah, we're going to encourage your homosexual and group marriages and charge a little extra for a heterosexual marriage.
And do you think that you're going to really get by with this sort of thing without anybody trying to stop you?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of opposition to it. Even on something as simple and as personal, let's say, as a homosexual marriage, they'll probably go ahead and we'll have to make a test case out of it. People are leaping around like frogs here, and there's a lot beginning to happen.
Well, good luck, and thank you very much, Phil.
Okay.
I think Bill was really shook up with that one. Philip C. Hill, the new hippie JP of Lawrence, Kansas. I've heard of, you know, political payoffs with, you know, highway construction and, you know, maintenance. It's the first time I ever heard of a political payoff with Kansas grass. Oh, well. The state Democratic chairman, incidentally, has sworn to have him thrown out of office and says that Hill will spend the shortest term of office in Kansas history. Right now, a program note. Tomorrow afternoon on Monitor with Ted Brown as your host, you'll hear Lady Bird Johnson talk about her new book, White House Diary. You'll meet movie great Mary Pickford and hear her opinion of modern movies. And you'll hear astronaut Buzz Aldrin's account of his exchange of gifts with the visiting Russian cosmonauts. All this and music, too, tomorrow afternoon on Monitor 70. is Countrywide Monitor 70, heard in the area around Birmingham, Alabama, on station WAPI, the voice of Alabama. This is your host, Murray the K. We'll be back in a few moments.
Thank you.